the title of tonight's message is Meeting with the God Who Transcends Time and Space. I think that's a good title. So I've preached on Psalms a lot. I think I've preached about on half of the Psalms. The Psalms are a great witness of David's his spiritual life. And many people call David a prophet. Actually, in this level, he is a great prophet. He had a very strong prophetic spirit. So Psalm 40 is a prophecy about the new covenant. And it's also important for Hebrews chapter 2. Thank you, daughter of mine. So, does anyone want to receive? I don't think there'll be many people, but anyone who needs to receive ministry, you can stay tonight and I will do ministry. I and the pastors. Is everyone not back yet from the bathroom? Everyone's back? Okay, so please sit down. You guys have to keep praying without ceasing. Of course, intercession is very important, but your personal prayer is even more important because this season is a time where God has been pouring out the most glory He has been pouring out upon the remnant so far. Right now, He's pouring out so much. All of the bondages in your life that you have not been able to resolve, it's time for you to resolve it now. And God is leading us to perfection. Of course, each of your spiritual situations are different, but in our community, we are rising to the peak. We're rising to the peak right now. So we are heading towards the fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 5. So we need to move together as a church. And at that time, at the peak, you have been carrying all of your burden towards the top. But once you get to the peak, you cannot take your burdens with you. Like this. If you go to Denver, the Mount Everstone, I went with one of the elders here. I thought I was going to die. But it goes over 4,000 meters. You cannot walk normally. You can, you know, bring your burdens with you, your luggage with you, but once you get towards the top, you cannot even bring your luggage. That's the time we're in right now. We are rising toward the top, but if you have any luggage or burdens with you, you will fall behind. Right now, God is pouring out everything you need so that no one will fall behind. He's pouring out all this glory right now. For the past 23 years, God has been pouring out all of this glory without, that cannot be explained. But at the same time, we've been doing so much ministry. I've been gone outside of the church for 6 months at a time. We've been doing so much ministry, right? And we can see how much we've been doing ministry. We've used, you know, $80 million. It's not by myself, but all of you guys were ministering with me, right? You went with me overseas. You made the offerings. But do you think there's any backward flow from all of this? Yeah, there is. But God wants to free you from that, the backup. And so there are people who have not been freed from all their bondages yet. All of you need to be free. And so that when God pours out His glory, then you'll be able to receive exactly the measure He is pouring out. And so God has poured out everything that you need to reach that level. Our church members, Okay, I should not tell you this, but when I go to Africa, I tell them, you don't even reach 1% of our church members' levels. What kind of pastors are you? You say you're apostles, you're prophets, you are bishops, that you guys are joking around. I tell the pastors that. I don't tell you guys this because I think you guys will become arrogant, but the level you guys are at is better than pastors, many pastors across the world. But even despite this, still God has something to work in inside of us. In my standard, you guys are still lacking, right? But that can't be helped. It's because I want you guys to progress more. I want you guys to be holier. I want you to be a little bit slimmer. Okay? But in this season, God is pouring out His glory. And in this time, you need to get rid of all of the backflow and release it through the personal prayer. Those of you who can pray for a long time, I encourage you to pray for long hours. But if you can't, come to the sanctuary and, you know, get rid of all this bondage. And you also need to go to intercession. It's not the time for you to ignore intercession when you focus on your personal prayer. I'm telling you to focus on your personal prayer as well. I'm not saying it will be bad if you don't. I'm just saying you're missing out. You're missing out on what God is doing right now. It'll be a loss to you. So I don't want you to experience this loss. And for the past 23 years, you have been walking this path where you had to offer your lives. What happened to Joey, is it for her alone? Is this happening to her alone? No, she is a representative of our community. So all of us, our hearts are suffering because of this. Our hearts are feeling troubled because of her. And all of our churches coming together more closely, right? Because of this. So there's no church like our church. And all of the people who visit our church from around the world, they say there's no church like ours. I'm not telling you to be arrogant. I'm just, you know, I'm just praising you guys on what needs to be praised. But you know, God has called me on this path, but you guys are, you know, following me without knowing anything. Okay, you guys don't know what you signed up for. You signed up for glory, amen? signed up for glory. Not for suffering. Okay, you don't have to tell me. I don't know what she said. You met your husband well. You didn't meet me well, okay? You met your husband well. I knew you would say something. Seong, why don't you tell... You met your husband well? Isn't his name... Anyways, his name is similar to another person, but... Okay, stop moving around, people. So let's move on. Let's move into the text. Okay, what? What's going on? So after I get back, we're going to have our Thanksgiving worship service. I have a lot of expectations for what God is going to do during that service. And God is going to give us so many fruits. Even this year, even though I didn't do any ministry in the first half of the year, but we were so busy. Why was I so busy? I didn't do anything. But we've been so busy. We've done so much ministry already this year. And God is going to pour out. He has given us that much fruit, and He's going to bless us. Amen. So I believe we're going to receive a great victory at the DR. It's going to be a festival. And we're going to have this festival victory when we get back. And I hope you guys enjoy your meals during that week. Are we going to do anything on fattening cake? Do something for Thanksgiving? Make a cake as big as my face? Anyways, do something. Please plan for something so we can have a party all night long. So at least we can have a look forward to that festival. So that's why our church members, we enjoy conferences because you guys don't have the meals. Anyways, I feel sad that I'm leaving alone by myself to go to the DR. I hope we will see the conclusion before I leave. Because my wife, she's not going with me. I'm having a hard time. I didn't know I love my wife this much. Because she used to always go with me, but now I feel so empty. She's not going with me. My wife is here. Thank you. Thank you for my coffee. So I'm telling you to pray for me, okay? Because even my back, when it's itchy, I need my wife to scratch it for me because I can't reach. So husbands, take care of your wives, okay? Take care of your wives. You should do well to your wife, all right? Treat her well. Don't come crying to me if your wife rejects you, okay? Why don't I want to preach right now? Okay, verse 1. So from verse 1 to 5, we're looking that section first. It's talking about the relationship with God. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. It says, I waited patiently. I waited patiently for the Lord. What's the purpose? Why? Of course, the purpose of this prayer is the Lord himself. So what is David? David is in a time of suffering. But he's not waiting for the solution to his suffering. He's waiting for God. So I've always said this. When we pray to God, you should not. There are times where you make your problems into the purpose of your prayer. And as we've been talking about this relationship with God, what have I been saying? I'm saying this relationship of being is important. It's because you do not have this setting. And there are several reasons for this, especially for Asian cultures. Because of this, kind of like mystical, you know, philosophical background, we keep trying to meet God as an idol. It's because of this influence of regional cultures. And so even in America, those who are not religious, people who are Christians, they live altruistically. They live not self-centeredly. That's very natural for even people in America. Are they good people? No. It's because of this tradition. They don't have this, you know, influence from evil spirits in the American tradition. But in Korea and Eastern Asian cultures, they are very self-centered. And they also have to receive some sort of benefit when they offer to idols. It comes from this self-centered worldview. And so because of this, when you pray for Asian people, we do not make God our purpose. We want to receive some sort of benefit through God. So you should check your prayer to see what kind of purpose you've had in your prayer. If you've been praying for 30 years, at the beginning of your prayer life, you were, you know, receiving all of this answer in your prayer, but now 30 years later, you're not receiving answers anymore. If you look at the other Psalms, God answers even the thoughts of David. You know, God should answer your thoughts, but your prayer life, if you have been praying properly for the past 30 years, that should be the result. you should have a relationship with God where God answers even your heart. But you don't have that. You just, you know, pray to God as if it's a custom. Of course, I know some of you are not praying. Why? It's because you have not made God your purpose. I'm not telling you that you have to work hard to do this. If you receive the truth as a statement, if you don't accept the truth, this is completely impossible to make God your purpose. As you've been attending Yeobang Church, you've been taking in the truth, you've been getting rid of your thoughts and your plans, right? I even don't make your pastoral ministry my purpose, right? I don't risk my life for this ministry. I risk my life for God. I don't make the purpose of my life this pastoral ministry. Whenever God tells me to leave, I'm ready to leave. Why? Because God is the purpose of my life. It's the same for your business. Is the business the purpose of your life? No. Only God should be our purpose. It means that when you pray, you should be meeting with God because God is the purpose. That is the most important thing of prayer. Of course, this is not unique to David. This is unique to Jews. And this uniqueness entered into the New Testament through the apostles. So all of them, when they were praying, they did not pray for the solution of their problems. But rather, when they met with God, that they, you know, for example, if they took the problem of money to God, when they met with God, they realized the money was not the problem. And God did, whether or not God gives them money or not to solve that problem, it doesn't matter. Even the situation does not change. David says, God answered me. Why? Does that, of course, it might mean God gave them money. No, it's not certain. It's because the purpose of prayer is God. So even though they took this problem to God, they met with God and everything was solved there. And so that's why David is waiting upon the Lord. It's important that he waited. What does it mean that he waited? From the perspective of the Psalms, we can say two things when David waited. He was not offering all of his troubles before God at every single moment. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of trouble, he was waiting for God in stillness. I talked about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, he prayed three times about this thorn and God said no. Whenever this suffering came to Paul, did he not offer this to God every single time? But he was waiting, he was enduring, and he offered to this prayer to God three times. So this will, you'll understand this when you live by the Spirit. There are some times where you have to offer this pain and suffering that you're going through at each moment. There are times like that. But when should you endure? When should you pray telling God everything? You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. So if you don't live by the Holy Spirit, there is so much loss that you are experiencing. It's only, you know this when you live by the Spirit. So there's no rule when you live by the Holy Spirit. Because I wish there was a rule, because then I could teach it to you guys. But there's no rule to teach you. It's like this. I live with my kids, right? Sometimes they know that when they ask me as their father that they will give it to me. If they ask, that I will give it to them. But there are times where I do not give it to them. But the kids, they know, as they've been living with me, they know my condition. And so when I was living with my father when I was young, when do I ask my father for money? It's when he was a little bit drunk. He was happy. At this time, his wallet will come open. If you see his face, but you know something's wrong, then I don't say anything. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. If you don't live by the Holy Spirit, so listen. Everything is a problem of living. It's not about mysticism. It's not about sensitivity. None of this. It's true. So look, my kids, they know what I don't like. So they know they should not do things I don't like because their lives will be more comfortable. Why do you not know God's will? It's not a problem of mysticism. It's because you have not been living with God. That's why you don't know God's will. So you feel like it's something like mystical. You have to contemplate it. No. Okay, 99 things out of 100. You know, it's very clear what God's will is, but there's one, maybe one thing out of 100 where it's unclear. But as you live with the Holy Spirit, you know what God loves, what God desires. These things will become natural for you. And it's like this. I told a young adult, even the direction of your life, how long have you been in your own church that you still have a problem with the direction of your life? You still don't know. And so let's say, for example, should I marry this person or not? That problem, it's an actually easy problem. It's not easy. Why do you think it's difficult? It's because of your standards and your plans that you think it's difficult. If you say you only see faith, then that's over. That's it. And so, Deacon Hong, you getting married would have been impossible because if you had the standard of all this height and, you know, money and all this, if you see only God, then it's so easy to see God's will. But you keep adding standards, you keep adding your own thoughts, you keep adding your plans, all your experiences. You're not even that smart, but you keep trying to make something. So that's why you don't know God's plan. That's why it takes 3,000 years for you to understand God's will. It's true. It takes 3,000 years for people like that. In Korean, there's some sort of idiom for this anyway. Okay, I don't know. Oh, Huyeon, you're smarter than I thought you were. But that's not what I'm talking about, what you mentioned. Anyways, so I'm telling you something important right now. It's like this. Oh, I don't have any confidence in my ability to hear God's voice. Okay, in God's kingdom, it's not an issue of skill, because there would be nobody in our church if it was an issue of skill. Does any of you have money? Are any of you good looking? Do you guys have anything? Do you have good families? No. We have no politicians, no noble families in our church. Right? So don't look at your family line. It's not a problem of skill or background. Okay? Don't lie. There's no need for skill. Does God look at that? If God cared about skill, none of you would have received salvation. God's kingdom has nothing to do with your skill or background. And you always say, oh, it's because of our family is bad. No, it's your fault, not your family's fault. If you do something good, you take the praise. But if you do something bad, you blame your family. Okay, don't. So to my kids, don't blame me, okay? So our purpose should be the Lord. So waiting upon the Lord. It's not, David did not wait because he was waiting for the solution to his problem. So we've been praying. Many pastors, they pray for, you know, construction a new building. But I tell them, you guys are waiting for money, aren't you? But we are not waiting for money right now. Our purpose is that we need to build a new building. Because I know that's God's will. That's why I don't fast for this. Because the purpose of this prayer is not to build a new building, but to help, you know, many people. So why are we waiting? Because we've been using all of the money we have for people and for raising up the churches. So that's why I'm telling you to give offering. I'm not telling you to offer money. I'm telling you to offer your lives for God. But so in every situation of trouble, David was not crying out to God. It was only at certain moments he opened his mouth to the Lord and God answered him. It's like this. He has this patience to wait in the midst of suffering. You only know this if you know the timing when you live by the Holy Spirit. It's at the right time when you open your mouth that God will answer you. So when you open your mouth uselessly, you only not repeat yourself, but because there are times when you need to repeat yourself by faith. There are times where people, they pray by faith and they'll repeat themselves. But that is not praying uselessly. It's when you speak. When you speak uselessly, it means that you are not praying by faith. There's something you need to hold on to by faith when you pray. As it says in Matthew chapter 18. It's like the widow coming before this unjust judge. And Jesus says, will God find faith in this land? And so that was, this widow was constantly seeking the judge, right? If you reach out to God like that, you know, even this unjust judge answered this widow, will not God answer as well? There are times where you need to seek after God by faith. But that also, you'll know the timing when you live by the Holy Spirit. You don't pray all of your prayers like that. You know, you don't pray like that according to your needs. You will determine this according to your life with God. So this, what is the second aspect of God, of David's waiting? He is crying out to God during his suffering. Of course, when he calls out, God will answer him. David knows that. So if he's been answered, then his situation should change, but the situation did not change. Is that a problem for David? No. Many times this happened in the Psalms, right? Where he prayed, he was answered, and so he should not pray anymore. But he keeps praying. Why? Even though he received the answer, that situation has not changed yet. And until that reality, he received a confirmation in reality, he keeps praying. So the moment you start praying, let's say, that $100 million, is that there are times where that money is in my hand, but the reality is not there yet. So I keep praying. So it's because it's already been resolved, right? In prayer, in the spiritual realm. So whether or not I have this money in my hand, it doesn't matter. But in reality, that situation has not changed yet. So I keep praying until the situation changes. And there will be a time where the situation will change. So that's why we need to wait. So waiting, we've been talking about this in Isaiah as well. Waiting and being in stillness is the same thing. It's because you are not in stillness that you cannot wait. You are unable to wait. Because stillness is the reaction of the new self. And waiting is impossible for the old self. So because perseverance is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So only the new self can wait. So there are so many people who cannot wait. If they just waited one more day, they would have received the answer. But it's because they are moving according to the flesh that they are not able to wait. So there's never, in my 36 years of spiritual life, I've never seen a problem because of slowness. It's because people are fast and hurrying that there's always a problem. And look at Moses. God has been pushing Moses to go to Egypt, and Moses said, no, I won't go. God sent Moses to the desert for 40 years, right? Moses, he was used to waiting. So Moses said, I won't go. And God said, no, I'll give you power. And Moses said, I can't talk. And God said, I will send Aaron to be your mouth. And Moses said, I won't go. It's because Moses had this stillness. He was able to wait. So stillness and waiting is the same thing. So if you explain the life of being with God, it's a life of waiting. And it says in the Psalms, I wait upon the Lord like the watchman. We've been to the army, right? There are times where you have to do the night watch at 2 a.m. They wait so much. They desire the morning to come so they can be off duty, right? Okay, there's someone who is in the Marines. No. Okay. Where did you go? You didn't go to the army? You didn't go to the army. So, waiting. It's very important. Waiting and perseverance, patience, are also very important. So in Romans, patience is your spiritual muscle. Endurance. You need to have this spiritual endurance so that it's because you have this endurance that the enemy will be afraid of you. If you take these blows and you react to every single hit, then the enemies will have fun with you, right? But if you stay still as you're being beaten, then the enemies will not find it fun. It's like this. I went to high school, right? And these bullies, they have their own groups, right? And so these, they have their clubs. And so there was people who was calling me to the ping pong club. And they were all coming to me. They told me to join their club, right? And I said no. So I was just rolled up and I was hitting because I was being beaten up by them because I rejected them for about 30 minutes. And so I was thinking, all of you are dead. I already had this kind of endurance before I met Jesus. I said, all of you are dead. And so after I went home, I took this weapon with me to school. And they were standing in front of the wall the next morning. And I hit all of them over the head at 9 a.m. in the morning. They punished us by running on the field, but all of the other kids and teachers, they enjoyed it that I beat those kids up. I'm telling you what it's like to endure, okay? I'm not the fact that I fought with them, right? So I'm saying don't mess with me, okay? Okay, these enemies, these evil spirits, don't mess with me. I already had the kind of endurance before I met Jesus. So you guys are only going to remember this, right, after the sermon. I'm telling you, endurance is important, okay? Waiting is important. So look, he inclined to me and heard my cry. When we ask, he answers. So when you wait for God, that one time you open your mouth, God will answer you immediately. Why do you wait upon the Lord? there's several reasons. There's several reasons that we should wait. It's when you wait. It's because God has created us to have this relationship with Him where we ask and He answers. When you started your spiritual life, most of the time, God did not answer your prayers because He allows you to experience despair. Why? So He wants to show you the problems in yourself. The reason, that's why you should repent if you do not get answered by God. It's not because there's a problem with God. He wants to answer. It's because there's a problem with you that you are not receiving the answer. The reason you despair is because you feel like there's a problem with God. If you look in, when David was praying, he realized that when God does not answer him, it's because there's a problem with himself. So if you have been praying properly in your life, then all of your spiritual problems would be completely resolved. If you have this relationship of God where He answers you when you cry out to Him, then you would not give up when God does not answer you. If God does not answer you, God has to convince you, persuade you, explain to you, and show the problem. That's the relationship you have with God. So the power of prayer comes from this kind of truth. So that's why all of the promises of prayer is that you will be answered 100%. Why? Is it because you speak well to God? No. It's because that is the existence God has created you to be. Because if He meets with you, then that is what will naturally happen. He will answer you. Okay, verse 2. He drew me up from the pit of destruction. So what is kind of situation is David in? He's suffering so much that he's in a pit of destruction. He's in a situation he cannot resolve by himself. He's in a time of suffering where he cannot even explain it with words, the pain he is going through. You know, he was being chased by his own son. He was also chased by King Saul. He was in this time of tribulation and pain. But even in that kind of situation, God was his purpose. This is the measure of faith that David displayed. This kind of spirituality cannot be made in one day. David was training this kind of lifestyle from the days he was a shepherd. He made this measure of faith starting from when he was very young. This cannot be made in just one day. You have to invest in time of endurance and patience. Like I said, the relationship with God begins with trust, not with love. If you look in Galatians, God puts love in faith. All of the relationships that God has with His children is a relationship of trust, because the righteous shall live by faith. So it is in this setting of faith that God has a relationship with you. Love is not first. Human beings are... We're supposed to love each other, not trust each other. If we trust other human beings, we will receive hurt. Okay, if you trust another human being, you will have a difficult time. We should love human beings, not trust them. But just as it says in Colossians chapter 1, God has moved us from the dominion of darkness into the dominion of His Son. The love of the Son of His beloved Son. So let's bless one another. I love you. We should not trust human beings. If we trust human beings, we will receive hurts. We have to love each other. So you remember what I said in Isaiah, right? I talked about this. And now has no one saying amen? You guys are not excited by what I'm talking about? Why are you not saying amen?
Yeah.
Okay. Where are we? So even this kind of situation, David is waiting for God. So I said on Sunday, David's prayer started only in verse 14, right? David does not express everything, spill everything before God. This is why God acknowledges David's prayer. Because for us, when we have a problem, we don't check our faith. We don't check the relationship we have with God. Instead, we just spill everything in front of him. We spill all our emotions. But we have to, David, he always checked his faith with God. He checked, is God my purpose? And then he only says his actual prayer only at the end. David always checked his faith before he said anything. You're supposed to ask God. I mean, you're supposed to ask your father for money, and you go to your father. You massage his shoulders. You make him happy. You ask about his problems, and then when you ask God, when you ask your father for money, then he will feel good and he'll give you money, right? You know, all the fathers aren't like that, right? My daughter Pyeonggang, she already knows when she approaches me. When she says father, then I already know she needs something. I already know that she's going to ask me for something from her tone, right? And at the end, I will give her money. So it's like that for all fathers. David has a very beautiful relationship with God. And that's why in Acts... No, okay, that's why God says that David was a man after my own heart, right? So I hope many of you will be like that. So he raised me up. He set my feet upon the rock. He set me up. And so David has already been answered by God. God immediately raised David up from that situation. But the reality has not changed yet. But he's already been answered. So the reason, this is the secret to why we can live during suffering. Why God has not changed that situation? Why? Because God was not answering you about your money. If God has answered you, what does it mean? It means that you can live even without that money. God gives you the faith to live without that money. So whether or not you have that money, it will not be a problem for you anymore. God's purpose is not to give you that money, right? That is God's purpose, is to make you transcend the problem. So God does not give you fish if you need fish. He teaches you how to catch fish. Just like this, God's original design for you, if you've been living according to his plan, that you would be able to do anything in any situation. That's the kingdom of God. God does not make you be good at one or only one or two things. We have to be able to do everything. We have to be able to preach. We have to be able to lead worship. We have to be able to lead prayer. All of this is God's kingdom. It's very integrative. That is what God is raising you up to be. That is his purpose for you. So God directly raised David up. The moment he was raised up, God had already answered him. So David doesn't care about the situation. He knows that God is ruling over this situation. Did God acknowledge him? Does God know about everything in my heart? It doesn't matter when God resolves the situation. Everything is in God, is inside God's hand. So if God acknowledges David, then that's it. It's over. It doesn't matter. Okay, the problem with the situation, how long it will go, it will last, it is a matter of endurance, right? But David has been answered. So he set my feet upon a rock and he makes my steps secure. So the moment David received his answer, he is already in the place of victory. So as I said, The problem is not whether or not you have money. The moment God has received your prayer, then your whole faith and your whole personality, he raises you up into a place of victory. So just as I said, I'm not saying, when you have faith, when you choose faith, there's not an emotional change, but rather you're already in victory. So when we continue to have faith, we will reach that place where we will see the victory. So no matter what kind of, you have to be able to see this in the, if you're a spiritual person, if you have faith, the moment you have faith, you will see victory in the end. But darkness is not like that. At the end of darkness is failure. So that's why for the people of God, the conclusion is not important, but rather the progress, the step-by-step progress is important for us, whether we are walking toward victory. I believe that you guys are becoming accustomed to living with God, right? It's happening in our church. So let's go to verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. What is this new song? So even though the situation has not changed, David already has the excitement of God's victory. This excitement is, it's like in our words, it's when the new anointing comes upon us. The situation has not changed, but because the moment God answered David, he feels this and he feels the anointing come upon him. Even 5 minutes earlier, he might have been filled with worry and anxiety, but all of a sudden, this joy comes upon him. So even though it's the same song from yesterday, but it becomes a new song because of this anointing. That's why I always say, Achime. So even though I've been singing this for the past 36 years, people still receive blessing from that song. Don't say amen, okay? Don't be forced to say amen. I've been singing this for the past 30 years, but why are you receiving blessings when I sing that song? Because there's a new anointing, a new emotion every time I sing it. Elders, there was 2% missing when you guys were dancing. It was very good. It was good that you guys came out and danced, elders. It's a little bit different from the high schoolers when they dance. But it was very good, right? That the adults were dancing on the stage. It was a new emotion. it's like these martial artists dancing. No, it's different from the kids dancing, right? It's like this. It's like this Eastern dancing. Compared to like the raving of the kids, okay? Anyways, I'm saying the conclusion was good, okay? The result was good. Anyways, where are we? It's a new song. So, this is the evidence that God has answered him. So you also should have this evidence. Most of us are like, even though the situation's not changed, your children are still making you sad, your husband is causing trouble, but you, ladies, you are able to sing a new song, right? All right, nobody sing amen. I'm going to Dominican Republic soon. You guys have to show me the conclusion. That way I want to come back, right? You want to make me want to come back, because all of these, you know, Latin American people, they're going to be standing up in their seats shouting amen. Okay, so new song, a song of praise to our God. It's like offering this song as an offering to God. What does that mean? God is receiving this song. It's like offering this cow as a burnt offering before the Lord. So, in verse 17, I am poor and needy. So, in this situation, David has nothing to offer to God. But even in this midst of this poverty, David is offering this song to God. It's not that God has prepared this praise to David, and when David offers this offering of praise, just as it says in Hebrews chapter 13, when you offer this praise before God, he is transcending time. So he is already, you know, offering this offering of praise. It's like it's more precious than this burnt offering of a cow. And so God is so pleased with it, with the aroma. Like Chanel number 5, God is so pleased with the aroma of his praise. So you guys should be able to offer this kind of praise to the Lord. As I always tell you, how much you offer doesn't matter. God does not care about the amount. But that offering that God is truly pleased with, you should be thinking about it. If you think about it, then you'll be able to offer that kind of praise to the Lord. So in my life, when I was truly poor, I understand what it meant to offer true praise to God. That's when I started to have a high tone in my singing. Because I know I did not learn music. I don't know these music notes. I don't know how to read them. These music notes. I don't know how to read them. But in the midst of my poverty, I was in the suffering. But because of the emotions of God were overflowing inside of me, suddenly in my ear, I could hear this angel singing so beautifully. And when I was leading praise and worship, I didn't know the worship songs. I just led the worship. Why? Because I could hear the angels singing in my ear. And so God received that offering with pleasure. And the day, and whenever I offered that kind of praise before God, that day was the day that someone would bring meat to our house. And we didn't even have money for the black bean noodles, but we spent a couple of years in poverty. But after that, I had no trouble with money in my life. And I was, because I was offering this beautiful praise before the Lord. And I would go wake up at 2 a.m, stand before the altar, and I would offer this praise before God. I would offer this kind of praise before God. And God was so pleased. And so I know David's heart here. Even in the midst of poverty and neediness, God prepared this offering inside of me. It was this offering of praise. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So how powerful is the presence of this praise that people will start to tremble and fear? Whenever, you know, David was playing the harp, that evil spirit inside of Saul would start to become quiet. So that's the kind of praise that David was able to offer. There's a Pergamum. I was singing in Pergamum. We were in this tower that was for idolatry. And I was raising my hands and saying, all of the tourists, nobody could enter the tower anymore. I have a witness here. Because the anointing was so powerful. And my tone went up so high. And we were singing. All of the tourists outside could not come in because of the presence of God. And so that was the end of that serpent's idolatry. But those who have not, why would people become afraid in the midst of praise? It's because you have not experienced this before, that you think like that. Just when we did this conference in Malaysia a long time ago, hi, me now. I was singing with a very high tone. There was a pastor, a female pastor in front of me. She was screaming and she, you remember when I was singing? Nobody was there? Nobody remembers? That there was a great, you know, casting out of demons at that time. there were people who were, you know, they were offering worship to idols, and they were we cast out demons so hard that they started vomiting blood. And so that was the day there was this great casting out of demons. And so why did she was trying to, you know, follow my tone. She was trying to imitate me, just like a bird bursting at its chest because I was going higher. She fainted because my tone was too high. It's true. She tried to follow me, and that's why she fell. She fainted. Verse 4. How are you going to finish? We need to finish quickly. Okay, we'll finish in the middle, all right? Verse 4. Blessed. So David was meeting God in this midst of this great glory. And so this anointing was falling upon him. So what did he decide? Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. It means that David does not rely on his own strength, right? So in the midst of your suffering and trouble, those of you who rely on your own strength, you will fall into trouble. You should not try to make money on your own. You have to wait. You have to be in the midst of stillness. In the midst of stillness is when God will work most powerfully. If you start to manifest your own strength, then the enemy will catch you. So the most important thing is that most things will happen when you do not do anything. So you have to get rid of your own strength and rely on the Lord. Even in the midst of all this suffering, what David did was not doing anything. He relied on God alone. So because he didn't have his own strength, that's why it was possible. So David is very spiritual. Those who are not, it says, who do not turn to the proud. Even in the midst of this suffering, you try to ask people for money, you try to ask someone for help. But look, even in this trouble, God, David does not rely on people. He does not meet with just anybody. He doesn't meet with people God is not pleased with. Look in Ezra. In the midst of exile, they need people to build the repair the temple. But you know, if they didn't have the right qualifications, they sent them away. Because there's not enough people there, but they keep rejecting them because there's no compromise on holiness. You guys need to live this kind of life before God. It says, who does not go to those who astray after a lie. You have to work with people who live in the kingdom of God. If you work with people who rely on themselves, you will all fall into ruin. So that's why. That's why, because as a community, we have to be able to become united. No matter which member of the church you work with, you have to become united. That's why, because when you go out for ministry, you risk your lives because it's the work of God's kingdom. You do not go for your own benefit. You do not go according to your own methods and experience, right? So that's why in our community, we are living God-centered lives. And that's why when we become united, we do not trust in anybody's experiences. We trust in the kingdom of God alone, and God will do the work. So even in ministry, even when we send the high schoolers, in our junior high schoolers, you know, they are doing ministry right now, right? No matter what happens, we have to move according to the kingdom of God. So verse 5, this is the determination that David makes in the midst of suffering. Even in the midst of this suffering, David does not meet with just anybody. He doesn't hold hands with just anybody. So even in the midst of suffering, David he's not shaken, and he comes before God. This is success. This is what success looks like. That's why David was able to graduate from this suffering in 8 years. So look at verse 5. Oh, Lord my God, you have multiplied your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. So David is remembering his past. He's remembering his past. All of the wonders and miracles that God did to rescue David from the lions and the bears. Your thoughts toward us have been multiplied. So from David's perspective, this is the confession he makes from meeting with God. Your thoughts toward us. So you multiply these things. There's many miracles. Of course, there's a lot of miracles, but also they're great miracles. So what does David love about God? It's because God is great, always in David's life. So because God has demonstrated these wonderful miracles in his life, and he knows that your thoughts toward us are great. So all of the thoughts that God has toward David, David is experiencing. God has so many great thoughts about David. This is the state of the new self. So no matter if you are in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, no matter what you think, it is the thoughts of God. Whatever you say are the words of God. That's why the most important thing in your life is to maintain the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When you hear the voice of God, of course it's important to catch the voice of the Holy Spirit, but when you live by faith, you don't need to catch the voice of the Holy Spirit. Everything you think by faith is from the Holy Spirit. It's just natural. Everything you think is from the Holy Spirit, because when you're filled with His personality, your whole personality becomes His, right? Right? So let's move on. So he feels the thoughts of God enter into him. And none can compare with you. As he receives God's thoughts, all of these thoughts cannot compare to the human level. Nothing can compare with God's thoughts. Just as Jeremiah says, that God received his wondrous secrets. Call out to me, I will reveal my wondrous secrets to you. You might think, oh, is that it? But actually, this is the special thought that God has toward you. Special revelation God has toward you. It might sound like the same thing, the same situation, but the things that God gives to you are unique. Let's say I have this toilet here. Let's say I gave this toilet to Deacon Park. But this toilet, portable toilet, okay, I'm a king. I gave this portable toilet to Deacon Park. But so what is this? This becomes a treasure in his household now because it's from the king. Do you think he would pee inside that toilet? No, it's impossible. It's the same. So the fact that no one can compare with the Lord's thoughts means that the actual thoughts might not seem very excellent, but actually the thoughts are from the king himself. That's why they are precious. And so all of these are able to transcend all of the situation and every circumstance. Let's say I gave my ID to somebody, and somebody can say my name on there, right? But I gave that ID. It says President Lee Jae-myung on the ID card. I don't want to be Lee Jae-myung. No, sorry. Scratch that. It says President Donald Trump on my ID card. Then you would be amazed, right? It's the same thing. So that's the same thing. Whatever God gives to you is like that. That's the thoughts of God entering into David. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. All of the thoughts of God are not just one or two, but they're coming to him like a wave. Yeah, there's too many, so he cannot write it all down. All these revelations are pouring out upon him. Too many. So somebody stole my Bible, my first Bible, that Bible was completely filled to the brim with, because all of this revelation was falling down upon me. Even now, if you look at my Bible, I've had this Bible for 13 years. I need to change my Bible because it's so old. I can't change it because I have so many notes. Can you feel the anointing? So I need to sell this Bible. What price should I attach to it? I can't change my Bible. I've already changed the cover 2 times, but my Bible's very worn out. Anyways, so I was writing down all these revelations. It was one day when I was praying, and I was receiving the revelation about Hebrews. I couldn't write down everything because there's so many. This is what David is experiencing. You need to have this kind of relationship with God, at least. Because when you are, you will just, in that kind of state, you will just keep crying because you hear the voice of God, the revelation. You hear the voice of the Lord because he is seeing the coming Messiah. He is transcending time. This is not something special, unique to David. This can happen to anybody who lives with God. God opens this for anybody, especially for us in Yerbang Church who are listening to the truth. God is opening this kind of relationship to you. So what is the problem? You need to find the reason for the problem. There's no reason for you to not have this kind of relationship. So this is how amazing it is. God has so many thoughts concerning you. But look at you. You have no interest in God. God keeps pouring out his interest into you. But you have to check. Do you have interest in God or do you have interest in your cell phone? No. God is so, he's deeply saddened. You should have at least 100th the amount of interest God has in you. That's God. David is experiencing how much interest God has in him. You should, if you experience this even for one day, this will be a completely new and wonderful experience for you. So when I met God for the first time, that was the first time I received all of this revelation. So my wife is a witness. Every day I was changing. The next day I would change again. Of course, because it was the beginning of my spiritual life, the speed I was changing was very quick. But each day I would change. Why? Because I hear the thoughts of God. So when I stand before God, when I started reading John from chapter 1 through chapter 24. And I would, see the structure of that book. And I would pray about the book of John for 5 to 6 hours. As I prayed, the revelation would be released inside of me. And when I was praying for Hebrews, all of the revelation was being released. I also took another 5 hours. Isaiah took me several days. Several days of praying. There was times where I would go up to heaven and I would not come down. I would, because throughout the night, God was pouring out his revelation into me. All of this, it's strange that this is not happening to you. The spiritual level of Yerbang Church and all of the revelation I have been giving to you has opened the way for you to have this kind of relationship. I've never, separated the pastors from the lame people, right? Why? We all listen to the same message. We all listen to the same truth, right? I tell you about the Hebrew and the Greek words. So you have this background inside of you. Is it so easy for you to enter this kind of relationship? Why? Because I had to figure this out on my own. I had all of this time of trial and error before God. You should be able to pray about, even the preaching on Hebrews. If you enter
if you do that, you'll be able to, you know, actualize the book of Hebrews inside of you. No? Maybe I'm mistaken. No one's saying amen. Verse 6. From here, David is talking about the coming Messiah. He is transcending time. So he is transcending time to meet with the coming Messiah. So I talked about this in the Lord's Prayer, right? That God, our Father who's in the heavens, this is, we are transcending space when we meet with the God our Father. So when I pray for Pastor Ram, either I go to Nepal or the situation in Nepal comes to me. This is what happens when you die to yourself. I'm transcending space. I can transcend time as well. I can enter into the past. I can feel all of the wounds that I received in the past. This is what it means to transcend time. And when you receive salvation, you go back 2,000 years in the past to see the cross of the Lord. You become a witness to what happened 2,000 years ago. And you can also go into the future to see the future work of God according to the prophecy. This is how we can, you know, talk about the eschatology as well. So what does it mean to transcend time in prayer? This is, you know, unique to David in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, it's not unique. Why? Because the Spirit is able to transcend space and time. If you're ruled by the Holy Spirit, then you are able to, you are not limited by time and space. This is the type of prayer that David is doing. But because you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, it's easy for you. And you should be able to do this in your prayer. You are doing it in your prayer. So in that kind of spiritual... So for example, you know, I've done this a lot in conferences. You know, I say, oh, call them and see what's happening. And that thing I talked about is happening. So let's move our spirits to JB right now. Oh, they're eating snacks right now in JB. They're having a snack time. Grace, stop eating. And so you, if you follow with me, you will see them having eating their snacks. They're eating snacks already. At 10, it's 10 p.m. over there. It's 1 hour difference. Try calling them, see if they're having snack time. They're actually calling. Okay. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are sensitive to these things. I've been talking about this in intercessory prayer as well. You are able to go into that, enter that space. Just as Paul, he was in Ephesus, but he was able to see spiritually everything that was happening in the Corinthian church. So verse 6, and sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. So the Holy Spirit is, the Lord speaks with a voice, right? That's why we have to open our ears to the Lord. That's because the Lord has spoken to David. That is why he's able to proclaim this prophecy with boldness. He's able to say to the congregation, burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. David is prophesying the end of the old covenant. He is prophesying about the end of the priesthood. He could be stoned for this, but why is he able to prophesy this? It's because the Lord is speaking to him directly. How else would he be able to prophesy this if the Lord himself is not speaking to him? So it's because the Lord spoke to him. There are times like that. It's not common, but most of the times you hear the voice of God is from the Holy Spirit. That is like a wave, the sound waves, and you have to catch that sound wave. But you have to hear that you have to catch that frequency. But if you lose your holiness, you cannot hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So many of you... Okay, I don't ask about the... Who said the Holy Spirit? Who, when you share the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I don't ask whether the Holy Spirit said it. I ask who is the one who heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. I check that person's spiritual status. But when you listen to the Holy Spirit, you have to be holy. You have to be... Your spiritual senses have to be connected to the rule of God. Okay, I'm not talking... I'm talking about your relationship with the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, but this is different from the voice of the Lord. When you hear the voice of the Lord, no, even if there's risk and danger to your life, you are able to proclaim it by boldness. That's why David is saying the priesthood will end, right? This is actually a very dangerous statement. But he's able to say it with boldness because he hears the voice of the Lord. In your ministry, if you hear the voice of the Lord, then you have to obey. Somebody might tell me, the voice of the Lord told me that Pastor Kim has to leave. But I have to also confirm that from the voice of the Lord, right? I have to leave. But if you said that to me, I would probably stone you. But I'm just saying, it's like that. I'm giving you a comparison. That's why there's absolute authority to the voice of the Lord. Verse 7, and then I said, so David is transcending time. Who's the I here? When you pray, the Lord will intervene and there will be times where he speaks directly. There will be times where the Holy Spirit speaks. So who is the I here in verse 7? It is the Messiah. It is Jesus. Then I said, behold, I have come. So Jesus said, I have come. He has come to destroy the priesthood, the old priesthood, to install the new covenant. Just as it says in Hebrews chapter 9, that he has destroyed the offerings and the priesthood. Because he destroyed the ritual system. We need some sort of offering in the new covenant. What is that offering? It is Jesus himself. He has to offer himself. So that's why he has come. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about this in verses 5 to 10. So how important is this prophecy? David is already prophesying about the new covenant, that the old covenant will be destroyed. He is already preceding Jeremiah several hundred years. So Jeremiah, he was 590. And David was BC 900 or so. So he was preceding Jeremiah about 400 years. So, but that's how great David was able to transcend time. He saw that the old covenant will be destroyed. But who needs to become the offering in the new covenant? It is Jesus. So I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. What is the book of the scroll of the book? It is all the prophets. So many prophets, they prophesied that the old covenant will be destroyed. So that's why it's talking about Jesus. Verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. So what is your will here? So God is going to destroy the old covenant. He's going to destroy the priesthood. So in order to destroy the old covenant, Jesus came in human flesh to die. He is obeying the will of God to die, right? That's what it's talking about. So Jesus came in the flesh to die. But why? To destroy the old sacrificial system. Why? Because it is when God is pleased with the sacrifice that Israel can live as Israel. Because without sacrifice, Israel will disappear. There needs to be a replacement for this sacrifice. And in the higher sense, God's love and God's righteousness, there was a conflict between God's love and righteousness. And so the Son, he resolved that conflict by offering himself. That's why it says in in Romans 3:26 that he became the propitiation for our sins. That's why in Hebrews, already from the Exodus, David is already talking about all of this. He sees what was the trend already from Exodus. He saw that this will be fulfilled, that Jesus will go into the Hillel area to sprinkle his blood. So David was proclaiming directly what he heard from the voice of the Lord. So even now, you have to be able to transcend time and hear the voice of the Lord. Look, if you heard the voice of the Lord, you might be trembling in fear. But when you meet with God the Father, you're trembling in fear and awe. But when you meet with the Lord, it's a little bit different. When you meet with the Lord, you feel this comfort and peace and meekness and humility of the Lord. You feel His softness. It's impossible to express with human words. So David is hearing the voice of the Lord. He is almost a heretic, right? Because he's proclaiming that the old covenant will be destroyed. But David is so comfortable because he can hear the soft voice of the Lord. He's not hearing a voice like mine that's very high-toned, but a very soft voice that... Okay, because that voice is very soft, you almost can fall asleep. But anyways, you've never heard the pop songs from before. Who is Lee Moon-sae? Before that, there was this pop singer, Lee Jong-won. I think you guys are excited that I'm talking about Lee Jong-won. But anyways, Lee Jong-won, yeah, it was him. Okay, I can't imitate his voice. But anyways, it's that kind of voice, a very soft voice. So David is being melted by that soft voice. So this is why he's able to prophesy this amazing prophecy. Just as all of this prophecy that exceeds Jeremiah. What kind of spiritual state do you think that is? Okay, let's keep going. I delight to do your will. It means that he is delighted to become a sacrifice for God's will. The Lord is volunteering to be a sacrifice. Just as it says in Isaiah chapter 42, he has been chosen, but is not chosen by force, but rather because he wanted to resolve the conflict of his father. He volunteered. The son volunteered. This is very important in Psalm 51. David asked God to give him a heart of a voluntary heart, right? All of you are voluntarily volunteering. Nobody is saying, "Oh, Pastor Kim, you forced me." No, are you guys saying that I'm forcing you to go? No, you all have to volunteer. Elders, of course, I told you to go, but you are going there to die. No, you're not there. No, you're not there because of the demons. You're there to destroy the work of the demons. Amen. Oh, you have to have this voluntary heart. Okay, let's move on. Your law is within my heart. Your law is within my heart. What does that mean? It's Hebrews 10:9 says the same thing. Jesus came to destroy. He came here to destroy the first and establish the second. Where? Hebrews. Chapter 10, verse 9. Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." Yeah. "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. So what is the first? It's talking about the old covenant. Second is the new covenant. So in the Exodus, from Exodus to Jeremiah, and then from Jeremiah... 500 years later, the coming Messiah,
this whole timeline, all of this timeline, this new covenant, this 2,000 years is all compressed into this prophecy. So this is the ability to transcend time. So is David amazing? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying this is how great God is. God is able to help you to transcend 2,000 years worth of time. This is how omnipotent and all-knowing God is. Just like I said in Malachi, God has been waiting for 5,000 years to establish his holy servant. For 3,000 years, the DNA of the truth in Israel for 3,000 years has been transferred into the church. That's why when Jesus came into this earth, that the Jews were able to establish the church. This did not happen all of a sudden. This 3,000 years of history, the DNA of the truth was inside the Jews. And when the Jesus came, the Jews were able to recognize him as the Messiah. Well, they were able to see Jesus as the Messiah. Yeah, it's true. That's him. Anyways. So it's amazing, right? This is the relationship God wants to have with you. You have to desire this. If you have that kind of relationship with God, then your spirit will start to sparkle. If you experience this kind of relationship, your spirit will rise. When you have that kind of experience, your prayer will completely change. You have to desire this. Don't just ask God, oh, give this to me, give that to me. No. This is the prayer that became open to David because he experienced that kind of suffering. Amen. Let's move on. Verse 9. I have told the glad news. So, in the great congregation. So, this is actually talking about the church in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 uses that same verse. I will tell your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. Chapter 3. If you look at Hebrews chapter 2, 10, that Jesus became perfected through suffering and he entered into glory as our representative. And then in verse chapter 2, verse 11, it says, the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are of one source, and he is not ashamed to call us his brothers. And then what does it say in verse 12? What does it say? And he's proclaiming this to the church. Of course, each of you are a church, right? So when Jesus came to this earth in the flesh, he was able to resolve this conflict between God's love and God's justice. He destroyed the old covenant and established a new covenant. As new covenant being is the church itself, right? That you are all in the new covenant. That's why he is the mediator of the new covenant, right? And what is the essence of the new covenant? It means that the word is in your heart and in your spirit. And the spirit of Jesus is inside of you. And also the blood is inside of you. Right? These three things are inside of you. They are moving inside of you. So that's why we are in the five states of the new order. The heavenly sanctuary is in the earthly sanctuary. Well, not the old covenant, but the new covenant. And then the old sacrificial system is gone because of the blood of Christ. Sorry, there's only three things, but there's five. Anyways, Jesus is proclaiming this to the church. Should we just stop there? Okay, we'll stop there. If we keep going, you will fall asleep. Let's go to verse 10. I have not... Okay, so... Okay, so I have told the glad news in the great congregation. So it means that David himself is proclaiming this great news. Now he's become a heretic in the Jewish religion. So usually The great people of history have been called heretics, but anyways. So I have not restrained my lips. So how great joy is David experiencing that he cannot even close his lips anymore? Verse 9. So the fact he cannot close his mouth means that he can't do anything but talk. So because he's been having this fellowship with God that transcends 2,000 years, that's why I'm saying when I talk about evangelism, there's no method you use, right? You have to have this joy of the gospel inside of you in order to evangelize. The reason we evangelize all the world is because I have this joy of the salvation I received 36 years ago. So the fact that you cannot evangelize means that you are not experiencing this joy. No matter what kind of method you use, the method doesn't matter. It's not a matter of method. If you have the joy of salvation inside, you are able to evangelize. That's why I keep sending you out to do ministry. Because you go out to do ministry, you should talk about the gospel, right? And that's why you all have to go out. You all have to go and do ministry. Okay, let's go to verse 10. I am not hidden your deliverance within my heart. Yeah. I have not hidden it within my heart. It's the same as the previous verse. The fact that Jesus was coming to the earth in the flesh, man, it was something that David wanted to boast about. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. Faithfulness is also the same as faith. So David is seeing the perfection of salvation because he's seeing that Jesus' blood just removed the record of sin. And what is your faithfulness here? Is there faith in the Old Testament? It's not the same faith in the New Testament. Of course, Habakkuk prophesied about this faith, but this faith was fulfilled with the coming of Christ. But David is talking about the faith according to the New Testament. He saw that glory, and he's proclaiming it. Your faith and the perfection of salvation. So David is already seeing the perfection of salvation in the New Testament. He is experiencing the New Testament already. He's already seeing the power of the blood of the coming Christ. You cannot proclaim this in the Old Testament. Anyway, so all of the confessions of the Psalms, it's impossible to confess that from the Old Testament perspective. He received the coming Messiah already. That's why he's able to have this amazing spiritual life. It's because he experienced the coming Messiah. So he proclaimed this salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Again, your steadfast love here is hesed, or grace. Grace and truth. Of course, grace was in the Old Testament, but the essence of that grace is the Messiah, Jesus himself. Of course, love belongs to the Father, but grace belongs to the Son. So it's because he has met with the Messiah that he's able to talk about hesed. This hesed is grace. This is only possible when the Lord comes. So he's experiencing that grace beforehand. He's experiencing the truth beforehand. How amazing is this? There's so many people who do not know grace. How can you explain grace? You just say, oh yeah, I receive grace. You say, oh, let's do this. But you say, oh, it will happen by grace. No, grace. Grace is clearly God's gift. What is gift? It's something that began at the cross. It is the perfection of his righteousness at the cross. If you don't accept his righteousness, you do not know grace. So David is experiencing all of this already. Right, we have to finish this. Okay, we'll just stop here. It's already 11:30. I have to go to the Dominican Republic. So listen to the old sermon if you want to hear the rest. Actually, this is different from my previous preaching on this psalm. So you should receive the rest by prayer. Let's pray. If I keep going, I think you guys have consumed enough tonight. So I want you to have this strong desire. So this is a time where God is pouring out this glory. That's why I'm encouraging you to pray. So it's time for many of you to enter into this deep fellowship with God. In order to fulfill this, God is doing so many great works among us. So Pastor Cho and his wife, you know, they are suffering because of their daughter, but from the perspective of God's kingdom, God is pouring out this great victory and measure of holiness into our community. It's because you don't know the spiritual realm. You might think I'm crazy, right, for saying this. But if you look at what happened to Enoch, we already experienced it, right? Because he died, the ministry opened for Latin America. Of course, that itself is not important. But rather, we're able to experience the victory of winning over so many people. This is not a small thing in the kingdom of God. You will see the reward in the kingdom of God. There has to be a sacrifice for the sake of holiness. Everywhere you go, there has always been martyrs whenever the gospel was preached, right? We cannot leave this country in the hands of the leftists because we shed the blood of martyrs in this land, right? But and this country has been established by God in His great providence. And there were so many people, heroes of faith, who came to this land, right? We cannot. Okay, there are people of legend who were part of our history. But anyways, I don't know exactly what he's talking about in Korean history, but there are people who appeared and then disappeared just as quickly but were very important. Of course, there are things that were kind of like exaggerated, but there are people like Yi Sun-shi who were like great generals in our history. Our country also received a lot of persecution, suffered through wars, but our country has never lost its identity, right? We were never conquered. So God has a very great plan for this country. So we cannot hand this country over to the Antichrist. We cannot allow for anti-gospel, anti-Christianity, anti-Semitism in this country. We cannot allow for homosexuality, right? So Yeolbang Church, it's time to rise up. Enter into the deep glory of God and receive all of the power and authority of God's presence and be able to be more than conquerors against the Antichrist. God has already given all of this to us. So with this, we need to go out towards the world to establish the remnant churches. So we need to go out with confidence. You need to offer your lives and serve the churches of God. You have to offer your lives. You have to have this determination. You have to make the determination to offer your life. If you do not have that determination, compared to the truth and glory and grace that you've received here, then you will be losing out, okay? So, God, yes. We are going to Dominican Republic. You have already determined our victory. We're going there to take victory for ourselves. Lord, we believe that there will be this greater glory coming upon our community. Lord, we ask that you completely heal Joe.
Lord, we know that you are pleased with your her sacrifice, and we will show the enemy how you will take vengeance. Lord, take vengeance against the enemy. Lord, we ask, we will see you taking vengeance. Lord, we believe that the Korean Peninsula will be turned upside down. We believe that you will do the work, Lord. Lord, we believe that this community will enter into perfect holiness. And we will be able to have this fellowship, just like David did, that transcended 2,000 years worth of time. Lord, we ask that you bless us tonight. Help us to experience this victory beforehand. Lord, we ask that you pour out this power and authority upon us. Meet with the Lord. Lord, we ask that you will be able to transcend time. Come more upon us. Receive the power of prayer.